Have you ever listened to an audiobook on like double speed or like 1.5 speed or any speed higher than the normal speed?
Dylan, are you about to tell me we got an Audible sponsorship?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it is. Have you though?
I do like 1.25. That's as fast as I can go.
Okay. I think it depends on like how fast they're reading. That's what, like how much you can speed it up. But I read a book. I say read in air quotes. I listened to a book on Audible at 1.5 and almost 2 times speed. Yeah. Just because the guy spoke really slow. Yeah. And I felt like a superhero. I felt like I had this incredible ability to just like comprehend information at lightning speed.
Do you ever do the thing like where you read like a bunch of pages in a row and you feel really accomplished, and then you like go down to write like just like a self-reflection what you just read, and you're like, I didn't absorb any of that.
No, what happens is that I like start acting like I'm reading.
Oh, so, like, yes.
I move my eyes across the page and I flip the page when my eyes reach the bottom. Right. But I'm like just thinking about something completely different. I get really good at like daydreaming.
Yeah.
During those times, but not.
I've also like tried to like listen to podcasts while I read, just because like I must consume all the information. It's so hard. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
No, podcasts are, or like listening to audio, listening to us is great when you need your hands to be occupied.
Right.
Like when your hands are occupied, but your brain needs to do something else. I think that's why this fidget spinner here is so good for me.
Do you have a fidget spinner?
I do.
Ah.
Can you hear
I don't know. Okay. You said, can I hear it? I instinctively like put my ear against my microphone for some reason, which is just bizarre. I don't know. Welcome to another episode of the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Also, we just changed our privacy policy. Did you get all those emails yesterday, Dylan?
It wasn't yesterday. Yesterday, I was getting emails from companies that were like making fun of how many emails we have now received because of all these things. You know what? Yeah. I use it as a really good opportunity to cancel and delete and unsubscribe from all those things that I forgot that I was a part of.
Right.
And I actually emailed a couple of companies subscriptions that I had where I was like, please delete my account. And they actually had the balls to email me back and be like, is there anything we can do to keep you? And to one of them, I was like, stop taking my information and selling it to advertisers. And then he emailed me back explaining that, I don't know, something about what their actual value proposition is, and I said stop lying to me, and then he deleted my account, which I was glad. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm glad to be back.
How was Chicago?
Chicago was awesome. Highlights, I mean, I saw Hamilton the musical.
Who did you kill to get those tickets?
No one. They're very readily available in Chicago. I mean, they cost money, but it's not like New York.
Did they cost like a single Bitcoin?
Not a whole Bitcoin, but Bitcoin's on the up and up. I don't know if you're still invested, but...
I mean, I have a tenth of a Bitcoin.
Ooh,
no, I think I have 1% of a Bitcoin.
Ooh, okay. 0.01. I guess this is crypto talk. All right, crypto talk.
Into it.
All right, so right now we're sitting at 9.4, and do you want... BTC, not a public domain, so it's illegal to use Bitcoin as a trademark. You can't trademark Bitcoin in the UK. So look for Bitcoin to go up. I don't know. I just Googled BTC and started reading headlines and didn't quite understand them.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Vancouver.
But Dylan, what else is new about our podcast besides just not understanding headlines very well?
What else is new?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you're leading me with that question and I don't have an answer.
No, I'm just saying that's our shtick. Like, we just don't read news very well. And then we label ourselves as hockey podcasters.
Well, we label ourselves as a fantasy hockey podcast, and then we forget to talk about the fantasy part.
Yes.
I'm sure that'll all come back next season.
So for our first-time listeners, I'm sorry, but we are, this is the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast, a podcast about a league you're not a part of.
With people always, that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Not as always, but returning as your host, it's me, Alex, a.k.a. Fergie, a.k.a. also named Yellow Swag, a.k.a. Fergie Ferguson, a.k.a. Dumbo. Oh, that was a nickname when I was in like elementary school. I had really big
Dumbo?
Ears. Yeah.
Kids called you Dumbo?
Right?
I'm sorry.
Ironic. Ironic.
Do you want to talk about it?
It's okay. I was hanging out with our friend.
Is it ironic because you're actually smart?
No, it's ironic because that movie is about not making fun of people for their physical appearances. And then they did. Yeah. Childhood trauma aside, on the other side is my friend Dylan, a.k.a.
Hello.
Brock's Coxic, a.k.a. Brock Lobster, a.k.a. Dill Pickle, a.k.a.
Dill Pickle. Oh, God.
What else have we got?
Hey, do you want to know a funny story about that nickname?
What is it?
Well, the Dill Pickle nickname. Oh, you mean what is the story? Well, so when yes. I was... This person has come up on the podcast before, Evo,
yes,
the taco of my dad's fantasy hockey league. I think it was like my first or second birthday. I got a gift from him and his family, and it was wrapped in a drawing that he had done of a jar of pickles.
Okay.
And then on the label, it just said Dill Pickle, and it said like happy first birthday or something like that. And that was, I don't know if I liked it or if my parents really liked it, but that lasted longer than whatever it was wrapping. It actually got framed and put on my wall, and it was on my wall until I was like, I don't know, probably 18 or 19.
Yeah, just way too long.
My entire childhood, right next to a drawing that I had done that was like way too good for a kid that was like, I don't know. Three when I drew it, but it was like it was good in a way that it was like this face kind of like three-quarter turn to the side. I'm doing that, but now you can't hear me in my mic. Like the line that was drawn of the edge of the face like looked like a total accident. It was like when you spill something on a table and then somebody like makes that into a, you know, a beautiful rainbow with a unicorn, and you're like, wow,
or like when
how did they see
that? Or when people
that?
See Jesus and like their toast or
exactly.
whatever. Yeah.
My parents framed a picture of a portrait that I did that was essentially Jesus' toast.
That's hilarious. my room that I also currently, because I still live at home, surprisingly, our podcast doesn't earn us money enough for me to move out. Actually, I don't know. That's a whole thing. But... when I was in like grade 8 or 9, my brother and my mom all went to Boston, and that was like maybe the first time I ever like had like spending money on a trip. Like before it was like you'd go with your parents to like the gift shops or whatever, and you'd be like, can I buy this? And they'd say no, and then eventually you just
wear them down until you got something.
You'd wear them
you
down
like.
Eventually. Yeah. And then inevitably was like the thing at the aquarium that like, you know, the thing you could never grab that like, but was full of like blue gel or whatever, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So eventually everybody ended up with one of those. But this was like the first time like my parents like gave me an allowance, like this is your spending money for the trip. I'm like, yes, this is so awesome. And I proceeded to buy 3 posters at the JF Kennedy Library. And
of what?
My
past
bedroom.
Presidents?
No, just of JF Kennedy. Like,
are you serious?
Like, I'm not joking. And my room, and maybe I'll post this to Twitter, but my room looks like I'm like a huge like Democrat from like 1940s, like or whatever. I don't know when JF Kennedy was
not
president.
The 40s.
Not the 40s. What, the 60s? When did we go to space? We, as in...
as a human.
As a human. JFK was... yeah, he was.
So you have 3
in the 60s.
Posters of JFK in your room that have been there since you were 8.
One of them was, grade 8. So like I was like 12
grade
or 13.
8. Okay.
So like one of
Why,
them was like.
Can I ask yeah. why you thought you needed three and not just one.
Dylan, when you first got your first paycheck at your job, and you had full autonomy, I assume, like you didn't have to, like, your parents didn't manage your money, what did you do?
I bought Hot Wheels and didn't take them out of the packaging, thinking that it would be a really good investment.
That was incredibly, has incredible foresight that will unfortunately not lead into my next point. I just spent, like, all the money I had at the first place I had an opportunity to.
So it wasn't about why I want these. It was, does it fit my budget? And the answer was yes.
I just thought it would be cool to have one. And then I saw, like, a couple designs that I thought were cool. And I just proceeded to own a bunch of, like, ones of, like, an election, a reprint of his election poster. One of it is his kid. Like, I'm sure they're discussing, like, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it's a very tense conversation. And then JFK's kid is underneath smiling. This is like, just smile. And I was like, ah, that's cool too. And the other one's like an oil painting. And I thought, oh, I like art. And then there's actually a fourth poster from that trip. It's a free poster from Body World. You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's the other, like, I don't know why those, like, I guess I didn't have any more money for souvenirs after the JFK library, which was like,
so you're
on
like
the
I'll
second
just take
day.
The free shit.
I'll take the free poster. Yeah. Meanwhile,
posters,
my brother,
you have
my
few,
brother,
like,
yeah.
You have a few brochures that fold out into like maps. Those yeah. on your wall.
Meanwhile, my brother probably still has spending money from that trip. Like, he's just. Like,
maybe it's like a firstborn thing. My sister loved to like just hide money away, and then she'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go buy an iPod, and my parents would be like, you don't have money for an iPod, and I'd be like, how did you buy an iPod? And she'd just like pull out $300. She's like, this is all the money that I was given all year. And I was like, what money? And she's like, you know when you go and buy lunch and you get change? It's like, yeah. She's like, I save that change. I was like, okay.
I was the firstborn, though. My brother's younger.
No, I know. My sister's younger, too.
Oh, okay. Got it.
They like to save money.
Right.
Anyways, we should probably talk
younger
about
siblings,
hockey.
So, just our younger siblings are just further along in life than us, so it's just like a thing.
I guess so. Yeah.
And that's why we have a podcast together. So
exactly.
Yeah. So, Dylan, I guess we should talk about hockey. Right?
Yeah, there's some hockey still happening right now.
All right, so just since the regular season ended, and thus our fantasy season ended, we've been kind of doing a series roundup of the previous round. So we've already talked about the first round, and I won't go through all the series there. We already talked about the second round, and we now have two series to talk about. We have the Washington Capitals defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning's 4-3 in a thrilling 7-game series that seemed like home advantage didn't matter. And then we had the Knights continually defying expectations, defeating the Winnipeg Jets in 5.
That's incredible. 5 over the Jets.
Right. Man. And you like, think the Jets are just this incredible team. I think the Jets have the best forwards in the league. And
well, they also beat Nashville, who I thought was going to go a lot farther.
Yeah, I mean, I had Nashville winning the cup, so I did too. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe we'll start with that series, the Western Conference series. Do you think that fatigue had a big factor? Because I mean, the Jets kind of came off that epic 7-game series with the Predators, and I don't know. Like, the Golden Knights obviously have been disposing of their opponents just with such ferocity that I don't know if the Jets are. Couldn't handle that.
It definitely looked like at the end of the series, the Jets just didn't, like, they had no fucks left. They were, they just sort of, I don't know, Byfuglien looked like he was frustrated. Laine couldn't score. He had, what, 1 goal, 2 goals in the series?
Yeah.
The only one that looked like he could do anything was Scheifele, right? I kind of wanted Scheifele to take that scoring title. He had 14 goals, right?
Yeah.
And what was the, What was the
record?
Postseason record? Yeah, it's like 21 or
yeah, it was in the early 20s.
Yeah, And I mean, if you know, if they won that series, he was hot enough that he could probably put that many more in the next series, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And you know what? I'm happy because I won $240.
Right.
I feel like every time I say how much money I won, it's different because I don't really remember.
Right. I mean, look at that game five by Patrick Laine. He had just over 19 minutes time on ice, only one shot on goal.
I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of the story in Tampa Bay too, hey?
Yeah, I mean, Steven Stamkos had 1 point and wasn't able to get it, but I mean, I guess
7 shots in the entire series.
Yeah, I mean, Stamkos was actually shooting, but I don't know. Patrick Laine. I guess I don't know. I guess like strategy must play a huge thing. I mean, they always talk about this in basketball, and here we go. already into the basketball talk, but I mean, I feel like, okay, I mean, hockey, there's definitely way more volatility because your best players aren't controlling the puck for as long as it would be in, like, basketball or baseball or whatever.
Yeah.
But, so it's a little harder to predict in game plan because I feel like there's less, maybe there's way more strategy than I could ever wrap my head around in terms of, like, set plays and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I wonder if it's just maybe Laine isn't, maybe there was something the Knights figured out about Laine that they could just exploit, and they Paul Maurice, is he still the coach of Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Maybe Paul Maurice couldn't coach his way out of that.
Well, I feel like the Knights just keep coming. Like every line is playing fast hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't stay in their zone very long. When they are in their zone, it's like first to the puck. Grind until you get it. And once you get it, it's the forwards are at their center line already, and they play that quick transition, which is what's scary about Washington, because that's basically how they've been winning their games too. If you look at all the goals that Washington scored in their last, in the game seven,
yeah,
I think three of them were off the rush. Three of...
Yeah, but the Ovechkin goal, I don't know.
What do you mean? The one right at the beginning?
Yeah, like didn't Vasilevsky be stopping that 60-foot stuff? Like,
sure, okay, so maybe not that one, but the two Burakovsky goals were both on the rush.
But you're right. Every time I see a Washington highlight, I feel like it's an odd man rush, and like a bunch of forwards are breaking out as soon as possible as they can, and yeah,
and they're going D to forward within the first two touches of the puck in their own zone.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see them play against the Knights, which basically do the same thing. They're both transition teams. They don't really set up in the opposition.
Right.
And pass it around that much. They can do it, but you look at most of the goals that they score, they're on the rush.
Yeah. Who do you think right now is... I mean, we can't talk about the Knights without talking about Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this before. I mean, everybody's talking about, you know, the freaking JSG Gare and Dwayne Rolson, and we see all this kind of stuff, and all of a sudden in the playoffs, I mean, in the final round, they just kind of disappear. But
this is what's great about the playoffs, though, is that you can have these like incredible single performances, because you only need to be hot for a couple, you know what. The Knights have only played, they're 12-3. They've played 15 games. They've played less than Washington. 15 games, that's what, 2 months? Oh, sorry, they're 10-3, not 12-3, 10-3.
So do you think right now Marc-Andre Fleury is your favorite for the, what's the one? Conn Smythe?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they win, give it to him. If they lose and it's close, yeah, I think he'd still win it.
Well, he is going to be facing quite the force from Washington. Currently, they have the two top performers in the playoffs, Kunetsov and Ovechkin, both with 24 points and 22 points. Holy smokes. Again, Kunetsov, just so good. I mean, him and Ovechkin are both had about 80 shots for the whole playoffs. And yeah, I don't know.
He's a apparently he's quite a character. I was watching a couple of his post game scrums, and the Russian accent is very hard to understand, but he basically just like deadpans all of his answers, and then right after they start looking at him like, is he serious? Then he kind of just like flashes this grin, and he's like, I don't know. You ask stupid question, I give stupid answer.
Yeah. And there's something poetic about the team from Washington, D.C. having like two Russian superstars backing their team right now.
Three. Isn't Orlov Russian?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think he is. I'm not entirely sure.
Just for kind of being fun here, who do you think number three is? Like third in playoff points.
Third in playoff points. Sidney Crosby. Or is it Gensel still?
It's both of them. They're both tied with 21. It's crazy.
Yeah. Two rounds. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you play Philadelphia, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
That's what happens when Pittsburgh plays Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about the Knights, last week, last episode when you weren't here, Greg and I were talking about the Golden Knights being... this story being turned into a movie.
Right.
Because it's so... It's like a fairy tale, right?
Yeah. Like, this... A team of miscasts. Who is hated by the league. No one believed them. No one gave them a chance. And then they would have all those, like, quotes from all those... But one day, there is... And there'd be some sort of lightning strike that, like, would hit, like, I don't know, Lucas Pisa. Oh, okay. Sure, a castle. and then it would just, like, you know, all of a sudden, like, and all of a sudden, they were magical. And then, you know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Did you ever see Like Mike?
No.
It starred Little Bow Wow. And it was like the story about this like small guy in elementary school, and then like he found these shoes, and then
he became Michael Jordan.
And he became like Mike, yeah. And then in the final scene, I guess spoilers alert for Like Mike, but in the final scene he like tears the shoe, so he has to like he makes it to the NBA as a like an elementary
as a child.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous movie, but...
Isn't this the same plot as Rookie of the Year?
But wasn't Rookie of the Year the guy was old, right? Like, it was believable he could have been... Yeah, like...
No, who's the kid that broke his elbow and then, like, started firing 150-mile-an-hour pitches?
That was Rookie of the Year.
Oh, well, he wasn't old.
Wasn't he? Oh, okay. Maybe like I'm thinking of somebody else. Angels in the Outfield? 12? What's that one about?
It's about Angels in the Outfield.
Okay. anyways, and Like Mike, I don't know why. Keep going on this.
Okay, let's not talk about Like Mike. So
he breaks his shoe, and then you expect the power to be in him all along, and it's not. Okay, anyways, go ahead.
It's the opposite of Space Jam.
It is, yeah.
The magic water is actually magical. The magic shoe is actually magical. So the NHL.com, our favorite section, Short Shifts, actually posted an article, and they interviewed the Golden Knights asking them who would play each other in the movie adaptation of their story. So
I know it's
none
so
of them
bad.
Are who we said, but there's some interesting ones in here. Marc-Andre Fleury thinks that actually somebody else, I don't know who it was, thought that Marc-Andre Fleury should be played by Johnny Depp. And I think it might just be because of his facial hair. He's got like really like sparse facial hair. But he said that he wanted Jean-Claude Van Damme to play him because he's got a French accent. Marchessault, played by Tom Cruise. This is a weird one. They said that Gerard Gallant should be played by Liam Neeson. I don't really get that. Maybe Gerard Gallant gives speeches like that in the locker room. You guys,
I have a very specific set of skills.
Specific set of skills. It's you are hockey players.
You are hockey players. I can make a bunch of third pairing defensemen look good.
When I find you, I will kill you. Is that what he says?
Yeah. Okay. Also, he fights wolves, right? in
in that other movie.
Yeah.
Too bad they're not playing the Wolves.
Ooh. Like from the hockey? From basketball?
I guess the Chicago Wolves or the
Coyotes, I guess, would be.
Coyotes is close.
Yeah,
Coyotes. Here's another one. Here's another one. Nate Schmidt, played by Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Apparently, Nate Schmidt thinks he's as funny as Will Ferrell. But Will Ferrell's an LA Kings fan, so I'm not sure that he'd be very happy about that.
Lucas Pisa chose Vince Vaughn, which I thought just tells me that Lucas Pisa thinks way too highly of himself. Or maybe Vince Vaughn's in the cameo game now. I don't know.
No, you know who thinks way too highly of himself? Malcolm Subban chose Denzel Washington. Just, dude, you're a backup goalie.
No, but like the backup goalie always is like, that would be the, like if you were to like make a plot line, the backup goalie would have like the B plot, I think.
The B plot. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Now, because I was just he's the glue guy, right? Like he sees all the dirty secrets and stuff like that.
You just have Denzel sitting on the bench and he wouldn't have any lines the entire movie.
No, no, he'd say inspirational stuff. He's like, "Marshy, you gotta keep your head up. We need you." And then Marshy would be like,
"Wait, hold on. Was that your Denzel Washington impersonation?"
That was that was my Malcolm Subban played by Denzel Washington impression.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If you ask me to imitate any of these actors, I will sound the same, just so you know.
Could you do Mark Wahlberg playing Eric Haula?
Okay. Hey, we got...
Why is he the Fonz?
I don't know. I tried to do a Boston thing, but it didn't work. Okay, here we go. Hey, we got to trounce the Red Wings today. I started doing a British accent. This is terrible. This is worse than our Mike Babcock segment.
Oh God. Okay. Get me out of this.
Okay,
get me
but out anyways, of this, the this one part. The one thing that I did take away from this is like these guys have terrible taste in movies. Like these are all like the actors you see in like those bro type movies, like Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn, like Tom Cruise, you know? Like they're all like,
yeah.
I'm surprised.
Well,
yeah,
Fleury picked somebody great. Fleury picked Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, Fleury's the only guy with class on this team. Like, I just...
Wow. You're calling out the Golden Knights, eh?
I mean, somebody's got to. just kidding. Everybody has been all playoffs, and we've all been wrong. I don't know.
Should we talk about how much of a dead... What is it, beating of a dead horse? Comparing them to other expansion teams has become.
Yes. So I did a bit of research. I looked into like the last four expansion teams just to see where this, I mean, we all know that like these knights are like ridiculous. And, you know, let's just take a quick look at the last four playoff teams. So in the mid 2000 to 2001 season, the NHL finally got over the Y2K crisis and decided to introduce two more teams. So they were Columbus.
They were just waiting to make sure that their clocks were still going to work.
They're right. They're like, yeah, their algorithm depended on correct clocks, I guess.
It wasn't base 64 or whatever.
Yeah.
Base 8.
So Columbus had a 28-39 season, and their best player got 56 points. And I forgot, I didn't write down his name. But their goalies were Ron Tugnet and Marc Denis, who... I don't know. I was looking through this list, and I was like, oh, wow, these are some names I haven't heard in a while. My very first set of hockey cards had Marc Denis, just as a fun fact.
Was he your – did he become like your patron saint of hockey cards? You were like, ah, yes, Marc Denis.
He was my starting goaltender for my hockey card team.
Wait, you had a hockey card team?
Yeah, like, isn't that how you play hockey cards? Like you would – have a bunch of hockey cards and you make fictional lineups and then you'd play them against your brother.
What do you think hockey cards are for?
Isn't it for becoming a GM?
This is incredible.
No?
Did you play like Pokemon?
Yes.
With your hockey cards?
It'd be like me and my brother, and mostly me, and I tell my brother my brother's never really been into sports, but yeah, but basically we'd build a fictional team. Like we would draft. I don't get why this is so ridiculous.
I've never heard of this before.
So you have
I thought you just look at hockey cards. I didn't know you could play games with
them. So here's how you do this. So you have a stack of like centers and you have a stack of wingers and a stack of defensemen and a stack of goalies. And you just draw cards until you like fill up a line.
How do you figure out whose is better?
I don't know. Cumulative stats?
Cumulative stats.
Yeah.
Moving on.
apparently I'm doing this wrong. Their best player was Jeff Sanderson with 56 points.
Oh, Jeff Sanderson. Haven't heard that name in a while.
Remember, he was like our big trade deadline pickup for like when the Canucks first started getting kind of good, like in 05.
Did he have the yellow visor?
Yes. And we picked him and Martin Rutschinski up in the same trade deadline, I remember.
Yeah, I remember
that. It was
like
a big thing.
Yeah.
All right. Second best. The other team from that season was Minnesota Wild, who notably drafted Marian Gaborik, and he was their best player with 36 points.
36 points. Look at that.
But their goalies were Manny Fernandez and now Sportsnet analyst Jamie McLennan. Is he on TSN? He might be on TSN.
He's on TSN. Yeah.
He's
definitely TSN.
But Manny Fernandez famously got really hot against us in one playoff series, didn't he?
I do remember that, yeah.
Or was that... Yeah. So that was a nice little name to see again. The year before that, the NHL introduced the Atlanta Thrashers, who went 14-57.
Jesus.
Their top player was Andrew Burnett, who... Think another former Canuck, right?
I don't know.
Did Brunette play for the Canucks? I think.
I feel like he did. Remember that.
Let's just say he did, just because we're always right. And then also our favorite player, Ray Ferraro. What's his
Look
name?
That.
What's his nickname?
Chicken Parm.
Yeah. Why is his
Chicken
name Chicken
Parmy
Parm?
Parm. Chicky Chick Parm Parm.
Chicky Chick Parm Parm. And
Chicky Parm.
I couldn't figure out what they were doing with their goalies. They seemed to have a four-way goalie tandem. Like, they had four goalies.
Four-way goalie. They had two goalies in at a time?
No, it just seems like they had four goalies that all played, like, equal amount of games. Like, it was just... I mean, they were all bad.
Any notable names?
I didn't write any of them down. But no, there weren't any notable names.
The four-headed goalie. Okay.
Yeah. And then the Predators were introduced the year before that in 98-99. They went 28-47. Their best player, Cliff Ronning.
Look at that.
53
points. Good old
points.
Cliff.
Yeah. Wow.
Good old
Canucks
local
appearing
boy.
All over this list.
Local boy.
And local boy. Their goalies were Dunham. I put L. Dunham, which is immediately thinks I think like Leah Dunham from Girls. But
she did have a very short career. Playing goal for the Predators.
for the Predators. But also Thomas Vokoun.
Yeah. And she also, was mostly backing him up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dunham was actually the number one goaltender. But I think the Predators, I mean, for the longest time, had this string where they would have all these goalies that were really good, and then they were on these cheap contracts, and then they would just, like, jettison them off. And that's what made Pekka Rinne so surprising. It's like he was, like, their first goalie they ever played. And that kind of started with Vokoun.
Did you hear this? They're never going to have another goalie ever. He's just going to play for them until he dies.
Right, and he never gets tired.
Never gets tired. 60 games a year, 70 games a year, third round, finals, every year.
I did pull up the Thrasher season. Their goaltenders were Damian Rhodes, Norm Miracle.
Nope.
That's like a... Scott Lankow and Scott... Fankhauser and Rick Tabashiri.
Fergie, I think we figured out why they went 14-57.
I think we figured it out. Their main goaltender was Damian Rhodes and Norm Miracle. Miracle?
Nope.
Miracle. Miracle.
Rhodes, I remember that name, but I don't remember the other.
What,
and then
what's
finally,
Rhodes from?
I just remember him as a goalie. Like, I remember him as a goalie. I remember the name on the back of a goalie. That's
right.
What I remember.
And the last last team I'll go through, it's kind of weird. Just because when you look at their season afterwards. I guess that makes sense why. But it was the Panthers. So their top player was Scott Mellenby. They had John Van Beesbrouck in net. And I mean, they didn't qualify for the playoffs, but famously in 95 and 96, they kind of had a similar run to what the nicer experience are right now, where they made it all the way to the finals, where they lost to the Avalanche. Of course, you had the famous rat thing where Scott Mellenby killed a rat and everybody throws rats onto it. but the weirdest thing is they had a goals for of 233 and a goals against of 233. Their win-loss record was 33-34 and 17 ties. Dylan, I think I figured out their strategy. They literally just played for the tie every game. It seems like.
It looks like it.
It does. I was going to do this whole thing where, like, they said it extremely high penalty minutes, 16-20 penalty minutes.
Jesus.
Which is, like, I think second highest in their franchise history, which is really big.
I love John Van Beesbrouck's goalie equipment. He was, like, one of my favorite because he had that, like, golden dome. Mm-hmm. Of the Panther's head, and he was one of the few goalies that used that cage mask instead of like the bent metal to give you the big eye holes. He just had like a full on, just like grid of a cage.
Oh, but it was still like the tradition. It wasn't like the Chris Osgood style.
No,
mask.
Not the Chris Osgood. Like it was kind of like a mix. Yeah,
yeah.
It was kind of like what Tim Thomas wore for a little while there.
Screw that guy.
but he also had like the pillow, the pillow pads, like the big, fleshy looking pads.
Oh, man.
I don't know why. Just aesthetically, he was like one of my favorite goalies.
Do you know who had the plushiest pads of all time?
Garth Snow.
Besides Garth Snow, Arthur's Urbay, I feel
Urbay,
like.
Urbay, of course.
Urbay had super plushy pads.
He was so plush.
That's a heck of a soundbite. I was going to do this whole thing where I was like, the Panthers' first season was like just really weird anomaly because their next season was 115 goals for, 127 goals against, and only 770 penalty minutes. But then I remembered 94-95 was a lockout year, and I felt really stupid. But
so if
you know
double
what?
All of that.
I admitted it anyways, and we're all about humility here on the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. So with that said, the last four expansion teams have all been terrible. The Panthers kind of were okay, and then they eventually got pretty good. I mean, in their second full season, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. But here we are. We're now trending upwards in terms of our expansion teams. The Knights are in the finals. Dylan, I don't know what's going to happen in this current trend. I mean, I think the Seattle team has a chance to win all four major sports championships at this rate.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm just saying that, like, since expansion teams are getting better and better, like, what's better than winning the Stanley Cup, you know? Like, winning. That made a lot of sense in my head. I guess I can understand how that's... Oh, boy. Where's the cricket sounds when you need them, right?
Does this mean you want to talk about Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of did a bit of research into the Seattle teams. My goodness, okay, go ahead.
So Seattle's going to get a hockey team, right? Right?
Right.
Seattle 2020. That's like the thing that they're chanting. As I drove through Seattle last weekend, I did hit one of their. I did see one of the advertisements on a big billboard. That's what they're called. The billboard. Mm-hmm. I saw three billboards outside of Seattle. Yeah. And they had
remember that was a movie.
it was like
I think I saw that with like Mike in that theater. Anyway, so
it was like NHL's coming to Seattle, but then you know how they have a billboard and then they achieve something on the billboard and there's a big like stripe through it and it's like congratulations or sold or we did it or something like that.
Yeah.
They had that, except it was sort of, I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was something along the lines of like, we've proved that we can have a team and now we must wait. But it was in less words. It was just kind of awkward to read. It was like they were congratulating themselves for like the first step of maybe getting a franchise when the NHL is opening a new spot for a franchise, perhaps in 2020.
Oh, I thought that was confirmed in 2020. Is it?
I think it is confirmed now, but it,
okay.
So it was, yeah, it was kind of funny watching or seeing those billboards there. Did you know that you can bet on the name of what the team will be?
No. What are the odds looking like here?
It looks like the Seattle Emeralds are the front running team. I have a little bit of a list here. These are all names that I think they're called the Oakview Group, registered in their, I don't know, like in the last few months, as they've kind of like finalized their bid for a new team. Oakview Right. Group is the firm, that's looking to buy the team. So here's a couple. The Seattle Emeralds, obviously. That one, the odds right now are, what is that, 4.5 to 1? That's not bad.
Oh, no, so that's like, no, that's, no, the plus 450 means if you bet $100, you'll win $450.
Okay. Isn't that the same thing?
No, because 450 to 1 would be you bet $100, you win $45,000.
No, I said 4.5 to 1.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyways, next on the list is the Seattle Totems. The Seattle Totems just sounds weird. I don't know if it I does. Like that.
And that was the name that actually, when I did a bit of Googling like a couple months ago, seemed to be like the most, the number one like front runner for a name.
Yeah. There's something about it. Like, there's a lot of jokes to be made, like, oh, they just skated around them because they're just a bunch of totems. It's like too similar to the pylon kind of thing.
Yeah. And also, I feel like, would there be a bunch of like stuff about cultural appropriation and all this stuff? Like,
well, I mean, there's a team called the Redskins.
I feel like people, I know, and look how much hot water they're in. Like, it just seems weird that you would start a team like off in that water.
Well, I mean, if you want appropriation on the list here, we've also got the Seattle Kraken.
But the Kraken, I don't know. I feel like the statute Pirates, of limitations on the Kraken that's, being
that's
being
pirate
offensive is, I don't know. I feel culture. Like that's.
I like that as a name. The Seattle Kraken, I think, is really cool.
Seattle, you could get some really cool jerseys out of it.
Yeah. It almost seems like too cool, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's also, it's like they wouldn't name it that because, I don't know. I guess there'd be some good, like, parody tentacle porn. No? Okay. There's also the Seattle Evergreens, which just sounds like an air freshener.
Yeah.
The Seattle Sea Lions. That kind of like goes well. It feels good in the mouth. It's got a good mouth feel. Seattle Sea Lions.
The California team, the first California team was the Golden Seals or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was like where the Sharks play now.
Yeah.
There's the Seattle Cougars, which I think would be hard because there's already the Prince George Cougars in the WHL.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seals. I don't know. Do you really want to name your team after like seals and sea lions?
Mm-hmm.
They're just, I don't know, they're not very fast, are they?
Yeah.
I like the Seattle Sockeye. I think that's a cool name.
As I've mentioned on the podcast, I was used to be like a very big competitive ultimate frisbee player. The top Seattle men's frisbee team is called the Sockeye.
That's awesome. I think it's in hockey, I feel like it has two meanings. It's like obviously the sockeye, like the salmon, but sockeye, like you're going to sock him in the eye. Hey,
no one was thinking that.
No. Okay.
I think the one name that I can kind of cross out on this would be the Eagles. Like, I don't think they would ever compete with the
Philadelphia. Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't get that on there.
I feel like I'm feeling like
what if it was the Seattle Sea Eagles?
Sea Eagles. Yeah.
Or the Seattle Seagulls.
But no one wants to be associated with seagulls.
I know, right? They're pretty pop. They're like they're successful if you think about it that way.
If I were to say good value bets from this list, I'd say the most likely would be Seattle Renegades.
Renegades.
Or the Emeralds, but I guess that's already the top pick, so it's not really good value.
I haven't spouted this one off yet, but The third on this list after the Totems is the Seattle Rainiers.
Yeah,
Named after Mount Rainier. But they've got a beer. Mm-hmm. There's like the Rainier Lager.
Like, I highly doubt the NHL will pay attention to that. It's not like these. It's not like the thing that will prevent them from naming them the Sockeyes would be like the fact that there's a Frisbee team called the Sockeyes.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how much fuss that other team puts up, right? I mean, for the ultimate team, it's probably like promotion for them.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, like, I doubt they would even ask them for like permission.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I don't think it crosses their mind. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
like, oh it, man, wait,
but
hold
legally,
on. There...
Doesn't it have to legally happen? What if they were the Seattle Public Market? Do you think they'd get into hot water there?
Why? Why would? I don't think so.
Well, there's already a Seattle Public Market.
Oh, okay.
What if they were the Seattle Fish Throwers?
Ooh.
The Seattle
Gumwall. Fishermen? Seattle Fishermen?
The Seattle Gumwall? We're going to chew you up and spit you out.
Spit you up.
On the wall. Yeah. Do you have any ideas?
I like the Seattle Mount St. Helens. The Seattle Eruptions. The Seattle Eruptions.
Seattle Eruptions. The Seattle Lava Bombs.
Yeah.
That team has to be in Hawaii, though. That's got to be like the... What city would have a hockey team in Hawaii?
The Kauai?
Kauai Lava Bombs.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I don't know. I think there's enough names proposed here.
well,
but
okay.
As far as we know, is this team going to be just as good as the Knights team? Like, what do you think people will change in terms of GMing when the next expansion draft comes around?
Well, I think by 2020, we'll be paying them to take Louis Erickson off our team, off of the Canucks.
Oh, gosh. And we're going to have to, like, give them
something.
We're going
to have to dump some salary. Yeah, and we'll probably have to give them, I don't know, who are we going to give them? Gadjevic?
Jake Virtanen. Oh, okay.
We'll give him Jake Virtanen, and he'll turn into a top line winger.
And he's like,
in 2020.
Did you see that video? Did you see that video of Jake Virtanen at the UBC practice rink the other day?
Yeah, with Pavel Barber.
Yeah, and he missed the net and shattered the glass.
Yeah, who needs accuracy?
There was no one else on the ice. There was just him and the goalie. I don't know.
It was a power move.
What, it was just established dominance against?
Yeah, yeah. He was like, you know, like he was the I believe the term is dad dicking.
Yeah.
So there's one name on this list, the Seattle Kraken, that doesn't end in S.
Mm.
I really like teams that don't end in S.
And you
this
how
actually
many there were?
There's actually nine other teams in professional sports in North America, like the big four leagues, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL. This was actually proposed to me by Dave. Shout out to Dave if you're listening. So there's nine other teams that don't end in S. Can you name them?
So you asked me this a little bit before the podcast, so I'm not doing this live, so don't be super impressed, but the ones I came up with were...
I wanted to be super impressed.
Okay. off the top of my head, Dylan, the Wild.
Yeah.
Minnesota Wild. Colorado Avalanche.
Got it.
I wrote down the Chicago White Sox, because I'm pretty sure it ends in an X.
You are correct.
Okay. The Tampa Bay Lightning.
Correct.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes.
In the NBA.
Yes.
Utah Jazz.
Yes.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. If you stay in Florida, you might get two more.
Orlando Magic.
Yep. Come on. This is the other major big team.
Miami Heat.
You got it.
Yeah.
There's another team named after a laundered item,
like money.
No, like clothes.
Oh, okay. what league?
Wait, which socks did you say?
White Sox.
Okay, there's another team.
The Red Sox?
Yeah, they both end in X.
What?
Yeah. That makes sense. Thought that one of them ended in a K, like CKS, but they both end in X.
For some reason, I thought like Boston was like more formal and proper. Decided to do the regular pluralization. Hey, how many am I at then?
At the turn of the 19th or the 20th century, it was very in vogue to name things with an X instead of a CKS.
Yeah. Cool. Did I name all of them?
I think that's all of them now. Yeah. So you got the Boston Red Sox, the Chicago White Sox, the Colorado Avalanche, Miami Heat, Minnesota Wild, OCT. Is that what they call themselves? Or OCK? OKC? What's the acronym for the Oklahoma City?
OKC. Oklahoma, City.
Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Lightning, Utah Jazz. And number 10 on the list, Seattle Kraken.
Ah, yes.
Well done.
I got stuck naming sports teams with the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Tune in next week, and we'll do all the S's.
We'll do all the teams that end in S.
Yeah.
Funny enough, there's a lot more. The Oklahoma City Thunder is the one that stumped me forever. I kept on wanting to say Kansas City, and I couldn't get Kansas City out of my head and replace it with Oklahoma City. Hey, do you know what their team... What?
Kansas City? Can't get Kansas City out of my head. No, it's kidding.
Is it
Sorry,
actually?
Sorry, that was a bit I was trying to do. It didn't work.
No, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, go on.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
Did you know that Vegas is selling a wine?
Like the team?
Yeah, the Vegas Golden Knights sell a wine. Yep.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called the Vegas Golden Knights 2016 Cabernet Sauvignon, North Coast. Ooh. 2016 Chardonnay, North Coast. And the 2016 Chardonnay, North Coast. Oh, those are the same bottle.
But in 2016, there was no Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, it's probably a sham.
Yeah.
It's only $16.
This seems like a money grab.
Seems like a money grab.
Yeah.
What else would they put their logo on?
Who knows? We didn't really talk about the Eastern Conference series, the Lightning versus the Capitals.
I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
I don't have much to say about that besides that Ovi winning a Stanley Cup would be really cool.
Right.
But I don't want it to be at the expense of Vegas winning a Stanley Cup.
Right, because you have a pretty vested monetary interest in this.
Well, I mean, I have $10 on it.
But the payout.
The payout's good.
Have you got any buyout offers from Vegas? I guess you're such a small fish. Like, they're not going to be contacting you.
See, there's some people post expansion draft.
Okay.
The big bets were done before the expansion draft when they were like 1,000 to 1 or like crazy odds like that, and people are putting down like $100 on them. But after the expansion draft, that's when I did it. I did it like in October.
Right. The pre-expansion draft odds had, you know, Leah Dunham and Ned and right.
Yeah, Leah Dunham and Ned.
What do you think about all this like gross overreaction that always happens after the playoffs? That like Steven Stamkos is the next Alex Ovechkin or something like that. You see those? He just disappeared.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, you know, like the Scooby-Doo meme, like unmasking the monster. And it's always like somebody else that they thought they didn't know.
Right.
And it was Tampa Bay unmasking Washington. And Washington was actually Tampa Bay all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
But I mean, it's crazy because like Vasilevsky all of a sudden turned out to be kind of okay. And then all of a sudden, I guess he's tired again. Like it's just, I don't know.
He stood on his head, dude. He was making like 40 saves a night. They had so many shots on net every single night. And Tampa Bay just like, they didn't have a response. They didn't get any zone time. They weren't in the offensive zone. When they were, it was when they were on the power play. And then in the last two games, their power play just dried up and they didn't actually get any opportunities.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that team. Because, I mean, if you look at SportTrack or whatever, like, their team's going to be the same next year, right? So, I mean,
you have to remember, like, this team like, they didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but they made the conference finals the 2 years before that. Like, last year was the anomaly, not
true
this year.
I mean, I think that's a pretty good turnaround, though.
Yeah, and then they'll have another, like, they still have Ryan McDonough. Like, he's still under contract for another year, so, like, they'll be able to do stuff. I don't know. I just, like, I wonder, like, I bet you the Game 7, like, there was this, like, there was an article about the NFL today that I read where, like, the Seattle Seahawks are still torn up by the Super Bowl interception that happened like 4 years ago, and it's still talked about to this day. And it's like, and we kind of talk about this as Canucks fans, where like we always think about every move the Canucks make through the lens of the 2011 season, right? Like,
yes,
I feel like these things don't go away. Like, we're gonna, they're until Steven Stamkos decides to score like a hat trick in a playoff, in the playoff game seven. They'll be like, oh, Stamkos can never win a series. And they, and this was the story on Ovechkin for so long, right? Like, he's just like, he can't get over Pittsburgh. He was not a winner.
He was always whatever. A performer then, in the playoffs, though. He was always surrounded by, like, a choking team. And if anyone, it was Holtby that has, like, finally become an actual playoff performer. He was always the one that
but
choked.
Then there was all the... But there's all those rumors about them, like, looking like, well, we're not actually going to trade Ovechkin, but they were, like, thinking about it, right? Like, even just, yeah, like, a 1% chance. And you wonder if that will be Stamkos. Like, it's silly. Like, you shouldn't. He's the top three player in the league.
Don't
like,
do it, just... you guys. Don't actually do it.
No, but just, like, it's just these teams through, like, we can look at these things in a vacuum. But, like, I mean, obviously we're not in the locker room yet. I mean... but but like, I mean, it's like when it comes to player management, it seems like the rationale thing, you can never look at it in a vacuum, right? And that's obviously true. The most obvious thing ever said, but you just wonder, like, if they'll look at their team and, you know, let's just quickly pull up Tampa Bay's roster, and it's like, do they look at moving? Like, do they think, okay, Kucherov was our big guy, so let's just rebuild around him. What can we get from Toronto for Stamkos? You know, what do we do
playing
about
a dangerous
Andre Palat,
game,
right? It's just, I don't know. Like, I wonder if they just start calling people about all these different people. Like, the reason why they were so good throughout the season was, like, their glue guys like Killorn and JT Miller and Sergachev and everything were so good. And all of a sudden, like, Sergachev disappeared, you know?
They're playing, well, it's because they didn't have a power play.
Yeah.
Their power play disappeared, so Sergachev disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder, and they'll probably need to get a better backup goaltender than Peter Budaj or whatever they were running with, but...
I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like next year, if they have as many good players on their team as they did this year... and I put them on my fantasy team, then I'll probably pay more attention to them.
I will say, I don't think they'll have... I say they make one big trade this offseason.
One big trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of big moves in the league, we should probably just end off with some quick hockey news. Evander Kane signed for 7 years. 7 years per... So like 49 over 7. So like 7 years at $7 million per... year.
Seven for seven.
I think this contract will be bought out in 3 years.
You think it'll be bought out in 3 years? Wow.
Like, I definitely don't think he lasts the 7 years. And I think it becomes a Bobby Ryan type, like, burden.
No way.
Yeah.
That's a hot take.
I know, but I, like, he's not durable. He hits 100, like, he wants to get up to like 130 hits a season, it seems like, something in that range. And
I don't know. I beg to differ. Can I do that?
Okay.
Can I beg,
please,
to differ?
This drives our podcast, so please go ahead.
I honestly feel like something happened in San Jose. Like, he has been playing on, like, shit teams with, I don't want to say this, like, no leadership kind of thing, but he was playing on teams where his talent wasn't matched by anybody on the team, You know what I mean? Like, he was the guy that was supposed to be the top line winger. He was the guy that was supposed to be the guy's going to score the big goal, that kind of thing. He's not that guy on this team. Yeah, he's the highest paid, highest paid forward at least right now. Unless Joe Thornton comes back and signs Joe Thornton's going to take like $4 million. Like,
I think he's going to.
Yeah, he'll
four,
take but... four or something like that. Yeah. But I mean, on this team, I don't think he's going to have the same pressure. I think he's in a smaller market. And
he does now.
What do you mean?
He
oh, because he signed a big deal.
Buffalo. Like, I mean, Buffalo's a pretty big.
Buffalo's
I
a
don't
huge
know.
Market, dude. Buffalo yeah. watches hockey even when Buffalo's not playing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's in a smaller market. He's in California, where he, I don't know, I feel like he jives with California. And he's got these guys on the team like Logan Couture and Joe Pavelski and Brent Burns that they've kind of set the tone for the team. And all he yeah. has to do is kind of fall in line. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to do the Kay. Work of being the lead guy.
Okay, how old are Joe Pavelski and Brent Burns?
Joe Pavelski's 33. Brent Burns yes. is 33. Brent
They're
Burns
gonna
is
be
signed.
Done.
Brent Burns is signed just as long as Evander Kane is.
Yeah, but
they're both
Brent
signed
Burns
to 2025.
Play out that contract. Brent Burns is not gonna is not gonna play until he's like 40.
That's not 40.
Or whatever it is.
One,
like,
two, three, four, five, six. That's 39.
Okay, rounding error or whatever. But like, I don't know. Like, yes, I agree. But the
Fair
thing
enough.
Is, though.
So 3 years, you think he's going to get bought out?
I mean, that was okay. I mean, that was maybe, yes. I was going to say maybe that was a little excessive for contrarian's sake. But no,
yeah,
it's like.
Don't jump off the fence.
No, because it's like, okay. So like, here's the thing. In 3 years, Pavelski will be 36. Like, he'll be expected to take the brunt of the force here, right?
Maybe goal scoring, but not like room leadership. You know what I mean? Does that make
I
sense?
Still at a certain point he has to be one, and I guess like yeah, he's only 26 and whatever. Like, he's presumably will figure it out, but I don't know. But you also look at like other players in that cap hit area. Like, it's pretty
at 7 million.
At 7 million,
who are his contemporaries?
Pasternak is at 6.6. Leon Draisaitl is at 8.5. Let's see here. And I only want to go forward. Sorry, I'm just pulling it up here.
Here's some information about the trade. Here, I'll let you look that up. I just found this. The trade for Evander Kane had two conditional picks in it. A conditional first round pick and a conditional fourth round pick. The conditional first round pick has become a 2019 first round pick because they signed Kane.
Okay.
If the Sharks don't make the playoffs next year, then they have the option to defer that first pick to next year, so to 2020. But they signed him this year, so Buffalo got a first round pick next year, which is pretty good. First and a fourth. And they also got Danny O'Regan.
Oh.
Who is a prospect? I don't know anything about him.
Me neither. But here we go. Around the $7 million, you got Kunetsov at 7.8. You got Radulov at 6.25. I don't know why I mentioned him. Ryan Johansson at 8.
Where's Louis Erickson?
He's on this list. I mean, yeah. I mean, you got Jacob Voracek at 8.2. I mean, he's just like in this like really. Lou Erickson's at 6. He's in this one. Mark Scheifele is 6.12. I don't know. He's just as part of this like, group of like really distinguished forwards that you can actually build a team around. And I don't know if you can do that with Evander Kane in the same way. Like, yes, he's a good player, but I think he needs like he's not like he can't shoulder the load of a team's offense.
I don't know. He looked pretty good in the last 20 games and the playoffs for them.
the playoffs, he had 4 goals. Like, I guess it's like a goal every other game. I guess that projects to like 40-ish.
That's pretty good.
I
don't know.
He only will play like 70 games, so it'll end up being like 30 goals, but...
All right.
I don't know. There isn't just a great track record for people like him.
Next year, mm-hmm. don't draft him then, and I'll put him on my team.
Sure.
Okay? We'll see how that works out for you.
And I will gladly trade you one of my forwards when he gets injured and can't play. As I was saying all these things about Evander Kane, I was like kind of worried he'd like listen to our podcast and like get mad at us. But then I realized that's like the best thing that could ever happen to us. So I just kept going with it.
Screw you, Evander Kane.
And then the other big signing, of course, in Canucks land was Elias Pettersson.
Elias Pettersson.
What's the rumor here? Is he coming back? Is he coming overseas? Is he making the yeah. team? Yeah.
Yeah. 100%? Yeah, absolutely is. 100%. Yeah. He's working out in Sweden. He's not going to be here for training camp.
Because he's broke his arm or whatever.
Because he broke his thumb.
Okay.
But I foresee him making a splash in the preseason, just like he did last year.
Right.
Actually, I guess that wasn't preseason. That was like the junior tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was lighting it up.
Like that little like round robin tournament that we do yeah. with like San Jose and a bunch of teams
yeah.
in Kelowna or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So preseason, I think he's gonna be like Besser was last year.
Right.
And I have a feeling there's going to be some magic between those two. Besser,
yeah, I hope
Pettersson.
So.
I mean, like, I can only hope, right? Like, if I was saying anything besides what I'm saying right now, I'd have to, I don't know, throw away my Canucks jersey, I guess.
Do you think there's any, like I was just thinking, like, in the NBA, and they kind of, because the season is so much longer than any other league that any of these guys would have played in before, they often will, like, schedule rest for these guys. Do you think there's, like, any...
During the season?
During the season?
Well, I don't know. I feel like Pettersson played a lot of hockey last year. He played an entire season. He played playoffs, and then he went to the World Cup or World Championships.
Right.
I'm not sure how many games he played this year, but I don't think it's far off from what he would have played in the NHL. Is it?
One second. Elias. I think I misspelled his name.
We should get this stuff queued up as we talk about it.
It's true.
Elias Pettersson. Can I read his... I'm going to read his elite prospect profile. I'm going to read
it. He played 44 games in Sweden this year.
44.
And 44 and 13 in the playoffs.
Plus World Cup.
Plus World Cup.
Five.
Plus Olympics?
5 games. Olympics? There was no Olympics this year. Okay, I'm going to read this like... what's his name? Nilsson? Liam Nilsson?
Yeah.
Liam Neeson is what I'm trying to say. A crafty and agile two-way forward, Pettersson is consistently productive in all three zones. As he gets stronger, he'll become even more physical and aggressive than he is now, and his creativity could definitely elevate his game to dominant levels. He can be described as tenacious, jack-of-all-trades kind of player. He is well-versed in all the important aspects of his own game. His speed and top-end acceleration continue to improve game by game, and his hard-nosedness shows through in his dogged pursuit of puck control.
That verged on like angry Asian grandpa very a lot. But yeah. Thanks.
You're right.
Maybe I'm even more excited for Elias Pettersson than I was before. So I think we should kind of look at wrapping this up here, Dill. Do you have anything to plug for the upcoming week?
Do I have anything to plug? No.
No?
No. I don't think I ever have anything to plug. I have this podcast to plug.
Right.
The Winter is Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast featuring Alex and Dylan, a podcast with people you don't know and a league that you're not in.
I like to plug my new iPhone I just got. Got a new 8 Plus. It's pretty fancy. Got the red color, so I feel good about myself.
Is it, does it feel like you're opening, like, Chinese New Year envelope every time you take it out?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And Wicked. It brings me good luck.
Wicked. It's got Dylan, the black front, the number though, one doesn't thing. It? It's like black it's and nice. Red, not white and red.
Sorry, Dylan, there's actually something we did do that was very important.
Oh.
We didn't predict who was going to win the Stanley Cup final.
Vegas in six.
Vegas in six. Yeah. I'm going Capitals in six.
Okay. I'll see you in five. Game six.
All right. Hopefully not, because I said Capitals in five. as always, this has been your host, Alex and Dylan. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. We will have perhaps a Stanley Cup recap, and as well as for our off-season series. Dylan, what we got coming up this off-season?
We have our GM Simulastica, is what I've called it now. I don't even know if that's like a word, but I think it describes what we're about to do quite accurately.
Yes.
So then we also got our... I was just going to say, find out how we can ruin every NHL team in the league.
I hope I don't get San Jose, I'll say that much. And and then also, we'll be having a series on advanced stats as the regular season approaches, how we can maybe use that to project fantasy hockey performance.
Well, we promise to get back to the fantasy hockey stuff.
For all our loyal fantasy hockey listeners.
Yeah, all you guys.
We look forward to seeing everyone later in the summer, as always.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter at St. Louis Shoes. Email us YOLO bag.
Okay, you're falling apart. You're falling apart.
Send me home.
Follow us on Twitter at St. Louis Shoes. Email us YOLO bag@stlouisshoes.com. Find our entire podcast, stlouisshoes.com. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on Instagram. Not yet, but maybe. Maybe we should do these all on Snapchat. Maybe that'll be fun. Is Vine still a thing? Should we post our episodes to Vine? Maybe we shouldn't do a podcast anymore. Maybe we should just become like a...
We should just become a GeoCities webpage.
Instagram story.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's it.
All right, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.